Turning now to a special News Nation investigation about health care in America. You're about to meet two families who are sounding the alarm about the care their loved ones received and what they feel is a lack of transparency. Even before this story runs tonight, there has been significant pressure directed at us by the AANP, the American Association of Nurse Practitioners, not to run the story and alleging that our report unfairly maligns nurse practitioners in America. That is not the case and certainly not our intention, and it's one of the reasons we interviewed the AANP in this story. During this pandemic, nurse practitioners have proven to be absolutely critical to our country's health and well-being and are essential to our health care system. In fact, everyone featured in this story agrees about that. The two families you will soon meet say this is about accountability and transparency. News Nation investigative correspondent Rich McHugh is here with the story.
Here we go.
Seven-year-old Betty was the light of the Wattenberger family.
We'll get you.
Looky there, you got a rubber ducky from CC.
Her autism, though, made it difficult to communicate.
Butter, butter, butter.
So last year, when she had a fever and wasn't acting right, they called her pediatrician.
Their office said, you know, we don't take Wednesday afternoon appointments. And that's when we asked about, you know, where to take her, and they suggested a pediatric urgent care.
They took her to the pediatric urgent care of Denton, Texas.
I actually had taken a snapshot of Betty that day, actually in the waiting room, and sent it to my mother. And I said, Mom, you know, I'm really worried. Betty doesn't look right. They tell us that Betty was positive for type A flu. Her lungs sound good and clear, and they just sent us on our way.
By the next morning, Betty's condition took a turn for the worse.
She falls down in the shower, and I thought, wow, she seems awful weak right now. I said, something's not quite right, but, you know, she does have the flu, because that's what they told us. And I said, well, let's make you really comfortable. I get her favorite pillows, I got her show going, and then I know she's starting to ready to go to sleep. I walk back in here 5 minutes later, Betty's head's hanging off the pillow, and blood's just coming out the side of her mouth.
They rushed her to the nearest hospital emergency room.
And the doctor's looking at me, and he's like, she's modeling, she's doesn't have a heartbeat, we can't get breath. Jeremy, can we stop? Can we stop? And I had to tell him, you can go ahead, stop, and let her go home, let her go rest. And he did. And
I remember hearing the flatline, and I knew at that moment my daughter was dead, that she was gone. And I didn't understand. I was like, how can this be? How can it happen? Because she was acting normal.
Only after the autopsy came back did they begin to understand what happened.
And what did you find out?
We found out that she had sepsis and streptococcal pneumonia. And so what had happened is the day before, when she went into pediatric urgent care of Denton, when she went in there, that she was actually probably in the beginning stages of sepsis or the middle stages of sepsis, septic shock. She had severe pneumonia and had a third of a cup of fluid in her left lung and the start of pneumonia in her right. All of that should have been diagnosed in the pediatric urgent care of Denton.
But remember, at that time, their pediatrician recommended they go to the urgent care. They thought they were in good hands.
Did you have any doubts about the care that she was receiving at that point?
No, absolutely not. I believed 100% that they were the experts. They had the credentials, the experience. I believed that she was being seen by someone who had the knowledge to diagnose properly.
Do you think you're being seen by a doctor?
Yes.
Betty was not seen by a doctor. She was treated and diagnosed by a pediatric nurse practitioner. Dr. Amy Townsend, MD, is a family practice doctor in Bridge City, Texas. She is on the board of Physicians for Patient Protection, an advocacy group, and has reviewed Betty's medical records.
Any physician who would have looked at that child would have been able to tell that that child was critically ill and known that that child should have been sent to the ER and, you know, admitted to the hospital. what stuck out the most were her vital signs when she initially arrived to the clinic. Her heart rate was documented as being 170, which even for a child with a fever, that is very concerning. The pulse ox got a reading in the low 90s, but even an oxygen level in the low 90s for a child that age is something that should alarm any clinician.
In the state of Texas, nurse practitioners can diagnose, treat patients, and prescribe medicine as long as they are under a doctor's supervision. According to Texas law, the doctor is not required to be physically on site.
Pediatric Urgent Care of Denton even advertised on their website, if the ER is busy, and this is an exact quote from them, if the ER is busy, you can come here. We have the same services and abilities as the ER. Come here, we can do the same thing as an ER. Well, no, you can't. You're not a licensed medical facility in the state of Texas. If you don't have a doctor on staff, you don't even have a doctor on standby anywhere that we know of. There needs to be, you know, it needs to be a doctor or someone who is supervising on site, who sees what's going on, knows what's going on. You know, we're not talking about working remote. We're talking about someone's life. And so not having that actual check in place, you're allowing a lot of freedom for somebody who's not really qualified to handle it.
The Wattenbergers have filed a medical malpractice suit against Denton Pediatric Urgent Care and the caregivers involved, alleging misdiagnosis and gross negligence. In their legal response, the defendants deny the allegations and say they provided appropriate care and that her death was caused by a pre-existing health condition.
I wouldn't wish this on anybody. I wouldn't wish anybody losing a kid because of poor health care.
In the fall of 2015, Amy and Marlon Dawkins' daughter, Alexis, was a 19-year-old sophomore honor student and basketball player on the Redland College basketball team in El Reno, Oklahoma.
Shut up.
She complained of chest pains and couldn't breathe. Paramedics rushed her to the emergency room at Mercy El Reno Hospital, where they thought she was being treated by a doctor.
She introduced herself as an attending physician, as the attending physician. I mean, attending physician to me as a doctor. Towards the end of the visit, oh, she's gonna be okay. We're gonna keep her here for observation.
Just hours later, Alexis was clinging to life. She had been suffering from a pulmonary embolism.
3:02 in the morning, we get a call that your daughter's on her way to OU. And frankly, we don't know if she's gonna make it. So when I got the call, I felt like I was dreaming. Like I just left my daughter. I couldn't believe it, so I jumped in the shower with all my clothes on, and I can't understand what the people just told me.
Alexis died hours later.
I just couldn't believe it. And the whole time when we got the call, I was just thinking maybe they made a mistake or something happened, or maybe she's alive up here, and man, I just kind of lost it. I lost it.
Devastated by her loss, and then again by what they uncovered, that Alexis was not treated by a physician, but by a family nurse practitioner.
I was speechless. I was angry. It just wasn't fair. It wasn't fair.
They sued for medical malpractice and for negligent credentialing on the grounds that the family nurse practitioner should never have been allowed to treat acutely or critically ill patients. And they won.
Hey, Tony. How are you doing?
Niran Alajba, a pediatrician outside of Seattle, finds this all very troubling.
She died for, to be honest, the most senseless reason of all. In a nutshell, corporate greed. The corporation put a nurse practitioner in that ER that didn't have the training to be in an ER alone. And over a 12-hour process, a beautiful, healthy 19-year-old girl with her entire life ahead of her lost her life.
What do you want for Christmas?
I don't know.
You gotta know something. Legos. No Legos?
I don't want that to happen to my daughter, to your daughter, to anybody's daughter in America. That's what motivated me to write this book.
Alajba is the co-author of a new book, Patients at Risk, The Rise of the Nurse Practitioner and Physician Assistant in Healthcare.
We had a nurse practitioner without adequate training in over her head, running an ER independently in Oklahoma, where that is against the law.
And how does that happen in America?
Well, you have a corporation who skirted the rules. What they call it is a workaround. So the corporation itself in emails calls it a workaround. And they worked around the rules and had a nurse practitioner working alone.
The book claims to expose a vast conspiracy of political maneuvering and corporate greed that has led to the replacement of qualified medical professionals by lesser trained practitioners.
We have nurses going into what they call advanced practice, which is really practicing medicine. Many of the states were asking for a lot of these non-physicians to be granted free practice authority or full practice authority so that they're practicing independently. And I think my concern and the concern of many others is that they may not have the full scope of training or the full 11 years of training that physicians receive. And so when they're doing the same job as physicians, the question is, can they? Can they provide the same care?
It's an issue and a heated debate playing out across America. According to the American Association of Nurse Practitioners, the AANP, 22 states now allow nurse practitioners to work with total independence from doctors in their own practices. That is, for example, operating an urgent care type facility with no physician attached to it. And in 16 states allow independence with some restrictions, such as varying levels of supervision by physicians. Sophia Thomas is the president of the AANP.
Do nurse practitioners practice medicine?
Nurse practitioners practice healthcare. I think medicine itself is changing. There are a lot of healthcare providers that are able to commingle, and there's a lot of overlap in healthcare. And all of us, with our collective skills, are able to blend together and really provide good healthcare for patients.
But I'm confused. I mean, if nurse practitioners are prescribing medicines and treating patients, aren't they practicing medicine?
I think the definition of medicine is changing.
Is it the goal of the AANP that nurse practitioners have full practice authority, basically the ability to run their own practice in every state in America?
Well, that is actually underscored by opinions and recommendations from the Federal Trade Commission, the National Academies of Medicine, the National Governors Association. They all also recommend nurse practitioners have full practice authority because they know and understand that NP practice and clinical outcomes are equal to our physician colleagues, and NPs improve access to care.
The American Medical Association disagrees. They oppose nurse practitioners practicing without physician supervision. In their 2015 report, Physician-Led Healthcare Teams, they wrote, "Nurses are indispensable, but they cannot take the place of a fully trained physician." The data shows a clear trend. The number of advanced practice nursing jobs is expected to grow 45% by 2028, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, much faster than the average growth rate of 7% for doctors.
I wouldn't have said this a decade ago because the academic training of nurse practitioners was very rigorous. And what's happened is recently we've had this rise of what's called online programs. Many people refer to them as diploma mills. Many of these schools are churning out nurse practitioners without training and without clinical experience.
Today, there are over 400 nurse practitioner schools in the country, and many of them are online. Some of them boast 100% acceptance rates. Some also advertise that you can study online, completely online. Columbus State University, for instance, in Georgia, advertises that family nurse practitioner students can complete coursework, quote, 100% online in, quote, as little as 2 years. By comparison, there are only about 150 accredited medical schools in the U.S. None of them are online. Alajba says one of the key issues is the difference in clinical training hours required of MDs versus nurse practitioners. A physician will complete 6,000 hours in medical school and 9 to 10,000 during residency, approximately 15,000 in total. A nurse practitioner might only complete 500 to 1,500 clinical hours with no residency required.
If you're a student wanting to be a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant, you can, at some schools, you can study completely online and then complete a minimum number of hours clinical work, let's say that. And then you can be treating patients?
Yes, absolutely. In an ER in the middle of America on your own.
Would you agree that there is an issue with online diploma mills with regard to nursing schools right now?
I think that there's an issue with, there are a few non-accredited programs out there, and AANP doesn't support programs that are not accredited.
If I understand you correctly, you're saying it's an issue, but it's not that big of an issue.
I think nurse practitioners need to graduate from an accredited program of nursing where there is oversight. They're expected to meet certain core competencies and things like that. AANP has an issue with these programs that don't enforce these core competencies, meet the certain standards that are set forth by the educators.
So you spent, I think, 3 years researching and then writing this book. What is the main thing that troubles you in what you found?
What troubles me is that patients are, they don't know what's happening. They assume when someone says to you, I'm Dr. Smith or Jones, that that's a physician who's been to at least 11 years of training. And that's not true anymore. We have physician assistants who can obtain a Doctor of Medical Science degree. They can walk into any room in America that's a clinic or a healthcare center and introduce themselves as a doctor. And the patient doesn't know the difference.
Have you seen any issue where a certain level nurse practitioners have referred to themselves as doctors when they should not be?
Doctor is an academic degree. We have doctors of physical therapy. We have doctors of pharmacy, doctor of nursing practice. What we generally say is, I'm Sophia Thomas, nurse practitioner. Doctor is an academic term. Doctor doesn't mean physician, and the physician world doesn't own the term doctor.
At the end of the day, is this just a battle for power between nurses and doctors?
I hope not. I don't want to see it be that. I don't want to see it characterized as that. For me, it's not. For me, it's a battle to keep patients healthy and keep them alive.
For the Ochoa-Dawkins family, there is no gray area. It's simply a matter of transparency.
I'm not against nurse practitioners in healthcare at all. This is not what this is about. I'm against people practicing outside of their scope.
So that's the message I want to get out to the public, that know the credentials of whoever you're seeing. If you're seeing a nurse practitioner for your care or a physician assistant, that doesn't mean you're at risk automatically.
If you don't understand something, or if you're not, if that's not your practice, don't try to work it. You need experience. They call these doctors for a reason. Like, you have to do residency for so long to be a doctor. Let us know what you're doing. Let us know that you're not a doctor.
If they went to school, if they have the background training, if they worked as a nurse before they went back to get their education, you have a great clinician in front of you. Stay with them. Keep helping support them. But if you find out they were trained online, and if you find out they don't have any ER experience before walking in to work independently in an ER, ask to be transferred, because that could save your life.
The Wattenbergers say they continue to fight as the voice for Betty.
It's destroyed our entire family. We'll never be the same, and we don't want this happening to another family.
You guys are not going to give up this fight.
No.
But people have to realize that there is accountability and there is consequences. Our consequence for our daughter was our daughter's death. That was our consequence of taking her to a place that was not an established, well-known medical facility. That was our consequence. They have consequences they also need to be held accountable for, too.
Look at my feet.
Rich McHugh, News Nation.
The families we spoke with agree you should ask questions of whoever is providing your care, regardless of whether you visit an urgent care or an emergency room. Number one, is the provider I'm seeing a licensed medical doctor or a nurse practitioner? If you're being seen by a nurse practitioner, ask if there is a doctor on site supervising the practice. If not, is there a doctor on call in the event of an emergency?